to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Colfax, I'm with you. Let's root for the Nuggets to get the Mavs in the first round so that the Lakers can do what they're going to do. Whether if they win, great. Let's get them at full steam ahead. If they lose, we don't have to worry about LeBron James winning the title.
Exactly.
Let's go take down the Mavericks, and away we go.
If they face off with the Lakers in the first round, the Nuggets do,
yeah,
and they win, mm-hmm. it's just going to be the forever story of how there was just a broken team.
It was a broken team. LeBron and Anthony Davis couldn't get healthy all year, and they never really clicked.
And then even if they go on to win the championship this year, that will always be the stain on the story.
Yeah.
And they will never let them have it. So
yeah.
Let someone else take that heat.
Yeah, let the Lakers re-earn that respect in the first round of, oh, okay, they're back. And then away we go.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I'm with you. I don't even think that's going to... The national media is not going to give the Nuggets credit. If the Nuggets would have won in the bubble, there would have been an asterisk next to their name.
Yep.
But because it was the Lakers...
It was the most difficult year ever.
It was the hardest thing ever. You know, it's just really ridiculous, man. I tweeted this out. Chris Paul is like Chauncey Billups when the Nuggets made it to the Western Conference Finals in 2009. He was amazing. He helped Melo and that roster, but wasn't really on MVP watch. Not the best player score on his own team. That's Paul's situation. Paul's nowhere close to Nikola Jokic. So get out of here with that. Chris Paul's going to be in the same comparison. Chris Paul's jumped from... If Chris Paul was as great as we all say, and he's good, he's jumped... He's been on five teams. Five, right? He went from the Hornets to the Clippers to the Rockets... To the Thunder, to the Suns. Do great, great, great players like get moved around like that? I mean, come on. I know the Suns are amazing, and I like Chris Paul. I do. I feel like sometimes these guys get in our crosshairs because the media sets it up that way. But, I mean, what are we talking about here? It's not even the same comparison. We'll get more into that. I want to get more into the Broncos and Aaron Rodgers, too. This is kind of a tough deal, Colfax. I really... it's kind of been heavy on my heart here. I wanted to talk about this the other day, but we just didn't get to it. In the Tribune last week, another story about a former UNC football player dying unexpectedly. Miles Overton, 27, died this over the past weekend. They don't really know exactly why he died or what the situation is at this point in time. But Miles Overton is added to a very unfortunate list for the UNC football program. In the last year, according to the Tribune and Jaden Watson Fisher, in the last year, a number of people associated with the UNC football program have died, including assistant coach Zach Hoffpower, former standout Vincent Jackson, of course, with that story, Alicia Armour, Overland High School principal, wife of assistant coach Mike Armour. I mean, there's a tough cloud kind of right now over this program. And, you know, again, we always talk about how sports can be a really good thing to take our minds off of things. Unfortunately, this program hasn't played a football game. And by the time they play, it'll be 2 years. So it's a scary, sad situation going on. But, you know, this story caught my eye this morning or yesterday, I suppose. And I wanted to make sure we at least paid it the respects. So to all the families involved, with these UNC players and, of course, the entire team. Because, you know, even though a lot of these players, Vincent Jackson hasn't played for UNC for a very long time, went and put a great career together for both the Chargers and Tampa Bay, still part of the family. They're always a part of that family. And so you feel it throughout the whole program. 9 minutes after the hour, First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. Aaron Rodgers, this story. Is it going to happen? You know, I wrote my deep thoughts from a wandering mind about it. You know, a lot of people thought, well, why didn't the Broncos get it done on draft night? Well, you guys know by now it has something to do with the dead money and the way that dead money will be moved around, spread out over 2 years if Aaron Rodgers is traded after June 1st. So it would make sense that when George Payton, if he did, which he never answered yes or no, if he made that phone call to Green Bay and said, hey, what's it going to take? Green Bay is like, dude, we can't do anything until June 1st. Anyway, If they did, though, Colfax, now they're maintaining it. The Packers are maintaining, no, we're not trading Aaron Rodgers. But if Rodgers is as miffed with this organization as we believe he is, then, yeah, they're going to have to do something. Plus, they did draft their guy, their replacement. You don't draft a guy in the first round to sit him for too long, especially in this day and age. So there's going to be a time where you can get something for Rodgers, and I suppose now would be the time. John Kuhn came out and said Aaron Rodgers is conflicted about his future with Green Bay Packers. Everybody's speaking on it. Oh, you never hear from Rodgers. You just hear from everybody else. Former Green Bay Packers fullback John Kuhn, everybody loved John Kuhn, says he's talked with Rodgers since the news broke last Thursday of the reigning NFL MVP's unhappiness with the Packers organization. He was on the Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio. Kuhn said he wouldn't disclose the exact details of their conversation, but painted a picture of a quarterback who is evaluating all aspects of the situation and hasn't made up his mind for certain. Kuhn said he's conflicted because this man loves to play the game of football. This man loves to be a Green Bay Packer, and this man truly sees careers, Kuhn said during the interview. He watched friends leave. He watched Brett Favre's career toward the end. He watched all these things play out in front of his eyes. He's taken notes throughout his career. He's seen some situations that didn't feel were done or finished the way they could or should have. He's just trying to take his earned destiny within his own hands. To that effect, I actually admire him because not many players in the NFL have the opportunity. I sure as heck didn't. I played until everybody told me you can't play anymore, and it's a humbling feeling. Aaron Rodgers has an opportunity to take it, to take a little bit of that power. Well, he's not a free agent, so yeah, I mean, he gets to take some power, but it's a trade, so at the end of the day, does he get to choose exactly where he goes? No. I mean, if the Packers really want to try to make it right at the end of the day and they know that there's no working with him. And listen, a lot of people have you're mistaking me when you're saying, hey, well, the Packers have treated him poorly, and I'm not disagreeing with that. I don't know a lot of the ins and outs of what that situation looks like. I just know that last year was that's one of them I'm thinking of. Because Rodgers is all over Radio Row talking about the draft. He's talking about what he'd like to see coming in, getting some help, and what could take them to the next level. And they draft his replacement. I mean, that's what it is. Yeah, it could be an Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre thing, where basically until Brett Favre called it quits, it was time to move on for Rodgers, and then Brett Favre changed his mind, and it's like, no, it's too late. That might be the same situation they're planning with Jordan Love and Rodgers, and it probably is. I mean, he's the MVP. He's showing no signs of slowing down. But the cost is going to be a lot if you want this to actually happen. And again, I don't know if it's going to happen. Some days I feel like yes. Today, reading this, I don't know. If he's conflicted, then that means there's room to make it right. And then what? How do you make it right? There was a report last weekend that said Aaron Rodgers would be open to coming back to Green Bay if they fix the situation to his liking. Now, what does that look like? Is there an amount of money that could help out? Is there a bonus? Is there a firing of some sort? But here's the other thing, the elephant in the room that I don't think any of you are talking about. The number 37. When Peyton Manning, what year was it? 2014. He threw for 4,000 yards. 39 touchdowns for like a very little, just a very few interceptions. And obviously they went to the playoffs and they lost to the Colts, second round. That was a great year for Peyton Manning personally, though. The very next year, there was controversy about whether or not the Broncos even were going to bring Peyton Manning back. And he came back. But the next year, after throwing 4,000, almost 5,000 yards, 5,000 yards, 39 touchdowns. He was riddled with injuries. He threw for just 2,200 yards, 9 touchdowns, and 17 interceptions. He was injured all the time. Father Time had caught him. And it's in this league, it's not usually a gradual decline. Sometimes you see that, not with quarterbacks. Like Champ Bailey had a gradual decline. You know, he went from shutdown corner to the next year to, okay, maybe we can play him in some nickel and dime packages. Okay, now maybe we try him at safety, and then it was over. Quarterbacks usually, that star power that we see hits a wall, and it hits it hard. Well, like Philip Rivers, did he hit a wall hard? No. He quit before Father Time told him to quit. A lot of guys do that. Eli Manning, I wouldn't argue that he actually hit a wall. He still had some decent football years left. Manning nailed that wall. When will Rodgers hit that? Would it be next season? Odds are no. Would it be the season after that? And if it is, if it's season two, you walk away from that and go, all right, we had one crack at a Super Bowl, and we traded away 3 first-round picks, 2 second-rounders, and Cortland Sutton. So you got one shot, and if you didn't nail it, then no one will care. But if you do, then okay, yeah, it's worth it. It's a hell of a gamble. It's a hell of a gamble. For George Payton in his first year as GM, has had some extremely tough decisions to make. In this, you know, the draft was tough. Honestly, the first wave of free agency and the hot NFL trade market, there was a lot of difficult decisions to be made. And I, for one, think Payton handled everything extremely well. I think he held out, didn't get too crazy about Matt Stafford. And he held back and said, Teddy Bridgewater, I think the quarterback room is improved. The question you have to ask yourself is, okay, Colfax, would you sacrifice, if you could look in the future, 5 years of losing football? We're not talking just no playoffs, but losing records. 5 years of losing records for one, maybe two shots at a Super Bowl. And there's a darn good chance you can win the Super Bowl with Rodgers, but the Chiefs were the best team in the NFL last year and didn't win it. So even if you are the best team on paper, it doesn't always work out like that. So would you risk 5 years? Because this is essentially what the Broncos did. They signed Peyton Manning. They got him for 4 good years. Well, 3 good years and 1 Super Bowl year. Or, excuse me, 1 year where they actually won the Super Bowl, and he wasn't very good, but they still won. And then after that, this team went to shambles. Would you sacrifice knowing, all right, I got an Aaron Rodgers who's 37. He's going to be 38 in the middle of the next season. He'll be 40 in the middle of the season after that. Father Time tells me that, or he'll be 39, excuse me. I'm not doing my math correctly. That he'll maybe last 2 more years. So let's just say, would you sacrifice 5 bad years of football after that for 2 shots at the Super Bowl?
Yep.
You would do it?
Absolutely.
It's hard to deny that. It really is. Because if you're going to trade 3 first-round picks, 2 second-rounders, and a stud player, well, you got a young defense. You got a lot of young playmakers. Your line's pretty young. So you're not, like ask the Nuggets. The Nuggets haven't really needed a draft pick for a while, but they're so freaking good that they've taken a draft pick they don't need and turned it into something pretty okay. But that's where the Nuggets are as an organization. NBA is different, I get that. But they don't need a draft pick for a while. They didn't. They're probably starting to need to figure that out now. But Denver, probably, if they get Aaron Rodgers and you just move on from Sutton or Judy, then it's hard. You know, you could say, well, you don't need a first rounder for the next 2 or 3 years. But if Rodgers comes to Denver and at 37, 38 gets hurt, and it's done. Or he just hits the wall and he's not good anymore. And I know it's really hard to think about that because he's the league MVP. Let's just say that the worst case scenario happens and he's not the guy he was next year or the year, even the year after that. Maybe you got one shot this year and you make it to the playoffs, you lose in the AFC Championship. It's not like Rodgers is constantly in the AFC Championship or the NFC Championship. It's not like he's constantly in the Super Bowl. But that's the risk you take, and I get that. But then the next year he hits that wall. And who's the backup? Drew Lock? Drew Lock gets this, you re-signed him, and now he gets to take over 4 years later, 3 years later. But you don't have your draft picks anymore. That's the risk. And John Elway didn't have a plan B. Plan A worked out, but plan B is what we have the last 5 years. 3 head coaching changes. Several quarterback changes. And maybe out of his control, but an ownership that's just way up in the air. I don't know if that changes. With success, does that mean anything? If you're successful, does it is it as big a deal? I don't know. We certainly in the media don't probably talk about it as much because it's like, well, something's working. 20 minutes after the hour, Power to Play Sports poll question. We'll go to the Nuggets here. Nuggets, first round. Who would you rather than play, the Mavericks or a potentially rusty Lakers team? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more on the NBA, the Western Conference, what the games look like tonight, and so much more. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state, and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Happy life, gardens. If you have a backyard and you're proud of it or you want to be proud of it, it's got to start with Happy Life Gardens in Evans. Whether you need gravel, rocks, mulch, plants, they got it. Call Eddie at Happy Life Gardens, 970-330-9538. He's a good guy. Great, great local business there. That's Happy Life Gardens in Evans. Gomber's pitching tonight as the Rockies are headed to Nolantown. Whew, what would happen if... Okay. What would this do for Rockies fans if the Rockies win this series? You think they go a little crazy? Get a little happy there? The Rockies are... You know, they just come off of winning that series against the Giants. St. Louis is 18-14. I mean, I don't know. St. Louis is a good team. The Rockies have just been kind of strange. Like, don't you still just feel like the wheels are going to fall off at any moment? But every time that happens, it's like that scene from Maverick with Mel Gibson when the wheel's falling off and he's like holding it together. I don't know if you've seen that movie. It's a great movie.
Yeah, I can picture it.
Yeah, and he's like holding it together. Like, somebody for the Rockies is like holding this thing together. And they're 12-19. It's not a good season, but... You know, all it takes is a couple of good series wins, and you climb right back up to 500. Gomber, Gonzalez, and Marquez pitching. You got Flaherty, Martinez, and Wainwright pitching. Games tonight. We'll have that one on KFKA too. That'd be excellent. You know, is Nolan? What if Gomber strikes out Nolan?
Yes,
like all the time. Like takes him to town, man. That's the guy we got for Nolan, right? Straight up, kind of. Oh, boy. Yeah, hey, that Giants win was unlikely, but it gives you some confidence. You know, they give up 10 runs in that first inning on that doubleheader to start of it on Tuesday, but then they come back and they win the second game, and then they win the second game. They come back, Charlie Blackmon saves the day, and they win the series. So, you know, it's... The wheels aren't completely off. They just look at the schedule. It started off with, I mean, the first few games, you beat the Dodgers once. Then it was Dodgers lost, Dodgers lost, Dodgers lost, Dodgers lost. Fast forward, Giants lost, Giants lost, Giants lost. Dodgers lost, Dodgers lost, Dodgers lost. So what is that? 3, 6, 10. 10 losses right there to pretty good teams in your division. 10 losses. After that, they kind of settled down. You know, they lost the series to the Mets, but they got one game. They swept Houston in that two-game series. They beat Philadelphia in a series. That last game, they won 12-2. And then they beat the Giants. They are coming Colfax off of 3 series wins in a row. I mean...
Can you believe it?
Can you believe it? This team... is not dead in the water just yet. I think we're all waiting. I think we're all just kind of like, when's it going to happen? But this is where we are. I mean, they're 12-19, and they're coming off of 3 series wins in a row. So, I mean, no, I'm wrong about that. That's my bad. No, I'm right. No, I'm wrong. No, I'm right. What am I talking about? Yeah, they did. Arizona's in the middle. Arizona's in the middle. I didn't see that one. Arizona. My bad, everybody.
So
they've three out of the last four series wins.
Yeah.
All right. Still, did you think, how many of you thought in the first portion of the season they'd win three out of four series? I mean, especially against, you know, well, Houston, San Francisco. I don't predict Rocky stuff anymore. I just watch it. I'm guessing they lose this series. But I'm going to be sitting, you know, tonight's a big night. I'm going to be watching hopefully some good baseball with the Rockies. Probably not. But that Charlie Blackmon thing the other night, that maybe gives this team a little boost for a while. If you can kind of hang in there, get Kyle Freeland. I'm really wanting to see Kyle Freeland get back in this lineup. Because I'm curious to see if he can respond. Because John Gray has really changed things. He has really been, he's been a much better pitcher this year. And he's gone through these a lot of ups and downs. But he's staying pretty consistent at this stage. So Rockies tonight. So should be good. We'll see what happens. What's the headline tomorrow, Colfax?
The headline
Rockies
is...
Rockies win in the trade. Austin Gomber sends Nolan packing.
Proves that a third baseman doesn't win the series for you or something like that.
Rockies win trade. Austin Gomber better than everybody thought. Proves that it takes more than just a third baseman
yes.
to win a lot of games.
There it is. There it is.
So St. Louis this weekend. San Diego started next weekend. Well, there you go. Nuggets Jazz tonight. Looking forward to that one, as we've talked about. What do you think as far as this quarterback competition? If Aaron Rodgers isn't playing, if he's not in the Denver Broncos uniform, which I don't know. I was like 80% sure 2 days ago. Now I'm like 50-50. I don't know. The more I kind of hear that he's conflicted. Deshaun Watson was like, I'm done. There was no conflicted. He was meeting with people. And it was he walked away from meetings with higher-ups, and he was still like, I'm done. Which now maybe we're kind of knowing why. Maybe he needed to get out of Houston. I don't know. Guessing? Do you think that had something to do with it?
Possibly.
Probably. Like 23 people coming forward? Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got that. Rodgers is conflicted. Deshaun wasn't. So it was like, Deshaun's leaving or he's not going to play. Rodgers is... You know, again, if it's the ball's in Green Bay's court, if they don't want to trade him, then Rodgers can just say, well, then fine, I'm not going to play. I'm going to go do Jeopardy, which I think is a realistic possibility. I think he could seriously say, hey, I'm done. I heard on Cowherd say the other day, if Rodgers was smart, he'd take 2 years off, then come back and with somebody else. He's going to be 40 by that point. What is that? I don't think so. That one's interesting. Eden Country Club, man, it's going to be pretty nice today. Tomorrow should be okay. Sunday might be a little iffy, but, you know, we're getting into that point where even the rainy days aren't so bad. Eden Country Club, get all the perks of a top-class country club without blowing your savings account. Eden Country Club prides itself on their pace of play, green conditions, and having members who love their home club. Become a member today. Go to their website, eatoncc.net. Check them out. That's Eden Country Club. I love it. I love it. When we go out there, I think we're going to try to go through soon. I got to heal up, Colfax. I got to get this sunburn.
Got to get you inside, man.
I got to get back inside. I got to stay inside for a little while. 33 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
The Power Trip. Weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, shout out to No Limit Collectibles, constantly providing amazing pieces of memorabilia, sports cards, Pokemon. Yes, Pokemon. It's a big deal, man. Maybe you want to sell. Maybe you're looking to trade. You have cards and you've collected them in the 90s like I did, and you're thinking maybe these will be worth something. That's No Limit Collectibles. Perfect place to stop by. Check out how you can decorate the man cave. Tell them we sent you here. They're right off the interstate in the, not the Sentara shopping malls, but the one right across west of there, too. What is it? The outlets there. So,
the outlets at Loveland.
Yeah. So, yes, I couldn't think the outlets. What in the hell is the name? But you've seen it probably before, just driving by if you're going if you're going south at all on the interstate. So No Limit Collectibles. Tell them we sent you from the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Pretty interesting night, Colfax. When you look, when you're doing some scoreboard watching, Nuggets got the Jazz tonight. As we said, they are four games back. But the Suns do play. The Suns are home against the Knicks tonight. Knicks looking to kind of bounce back, bring that number one defense and be a little bit better. Maybe they beat the Suns. You're 3.5 games behind the Suns. If you can beat the Jazz tonight, then, you know, you make things kind of interesting. Lakers Trailblazers. I'm curious about that. That's another one when you're watching the Western Conference and how this is rolling out. Portland's sitting at 7. LA's sitting at 6. And, I mean, right there, if Portland can win that thing, they'll leapfrog. Huge games. I mean, huge games coming up. We're in the wire now, man. We're in the final 5-6 games. And there's still so much to be determined. My guess is Denver finishes at number, I mean, they're going 3 or 4.
They're going to go 3 because they do have that tiebreaker over the Clippers.
So they win.
I think they will get 3.
Let's see who the Clippers have left. Yeah, because if they win tonight, they'll jump right back over. It'll go like that the rest of the way. The Clippers have the Knicks on Sunday. So,
yeah.
Knicks got to be one of those teams, right? Suns are the Clip. And that's our poll question, is who would you rather face if that's the way it's working out, the Mavericks or the Lakers? But I guess Portland's in that mix, too. Because if Portland jumps up to L.A. and Denver jumps over the Lakers and Denver jumps over the Clippers, then it would be Denver and the Trailblazers going at it.
Is that more scary than a depleted Lakers team?
Dame's pretty scary. But they're 5-5 in their last 10 games, so I don't know. They're not as good as. Listen, I think Portland's always a dangerous team. But, it just depends. If Damian goes into pure, flat-out takeover mode, then sure, you're gonna have a battle there. Portland's a scary team. But Denver shouldn't match up well with the Lakers. And you saw that just the other night. They don't match up well. They don't really have a guy that can guard Anthony Davis. And Rondo's such a peculiar player for the Nuggets to play against. Just blanking out on their other guy that was who the hell was the other guy that tore us up the other night? Just went off against Denver. Oh, Schroeder. Yeah, Schroeder, Rondo. Switched over, basically. That guy, he's scary. And he's scary for the Nuggets. They have a hard time guarding him. I don't know. I think the Nuggets just don't seem to match up extremely well with the Lakers. I like the Mavericks. I like that matchup better. The Jazz matchup scary for the second or third round or whatever that looks like. This game tonight will be interesting. Joker, Rudy Gobert is such a great defensive player against bigs. This could be one of those nights where do you stay away from the point take for Joker for the 25? Do you stay away from that and go with Porter on the other side? Porter goes off tonight? Because the Jazz aren't really great defensively. They score a lot of points. They're not a great. It's surprising. I figured for sure they'd fall off, but they haven't really. Utah and Phoenix, neither one of them have really fallen off much. But a big night in the NBA, for sure. And I love it when it comes down to this. See, the national media, they want the league to be a 1-2 horse race. 1-2 in the West, 1-2 in the East. I don't know why. This is more fun for ratings for more networks are getting involved. Suddenly Phoenix, that entire area is like, whoa, we got a team that's finally back in the playoffs. Utah, whoa, we legitimately have a chance to win a title. We're all in. Clippers have a shot. Nuggets have a shot. Lakers have a shot. Dallas has a shot. Everybody has a shot this year, and I think that's not a weird year. This is how it should be. So Nick Wright talking about Joker being MVP. Maybe this is a sign of Nikola Jokic ushering in this new era of basketball where it's not LeBron and four other superstars. And I know it was probably never really four other superstars, but you get my drift. You're seeing a lot of great individual players now building on their own teams. You know, Dame hasn't left. Joker hasn't left. You are still seeing great players stay on their teams. And some are moving around like crazy, man. No question about it. But I just wonder if this. I said this several years ago, a couple years ago. With all the moving around these players are doing, the caliber of superstars we're having, we may not have guys like Jordan and Magic Johnson right now, but you have a lot of guys like Scottie Pippen. You have a lot of Scottie Pippins that are great players, that are superstar players, that maybe don't get the respect because they were in the shadow of Jordan. Well, maybe these guys don't get the respect because there's more players doing it. There's more star players in the league than we're used to seeing. I think that's a fair thing to say. There's more star players in the league. Perhaps the caliber's not what it used to be. I mean, Jordan and Magic Johnson, it's just those guys were on a different level. Kobe Bryant was on a different level. I'll admit, LeBron in his prime is on a different level. So you don't have guys like that perhaps, but then again, maybe you just have more of them. And it makes it harder for us to, you know, it's kind of like the NFL. It's hard for you to say, who's the best player in the NFL? You know, we'd all say there's about five or six guys we could argue with. The NBA, there's five, six, seven, eight guys we could all sit and have an argument with about who the best player in the league is. You know, when Jordan was playing, it was Jordan and like one or two guys close, and then that was it. Now, there were some great players. Hakeem was great. John Stockton, Karl Malone, those were excellent players. Reggie Miller. But Jordan was, you know, the distance was there. I think this is great for the NBA, and I hope this is the norm. And guys like Nick Wright think that this is bad. This is great. This is what you want. This is how you increase your ratings. ESPN, if you cover more teams, you're going to increase your ratings. If I know that I can hear about other teams other than LeBron's team, Steph Curry's team, and Russell Westbrook's team and James Harden's team, then I'm more likely to watch because I know you're covering it. I watch Good Morning Football almost every morning on NFL Network. And they do a great job of spreading it out. You don't feel bias watching NFL Network. I don't anyway. There's going to be obvious bias. Right. The Tampa Bay, deservedly so, the Buccaneers should get a lot of talk about them. What they did last year to go from a 7-win team to winning the title against the clear-cut favorite in the Chiefs. Sure. And they're talking about the draft. But the Broncos get their fair share. But you watch ESPN, and it's like the Nuggets aren't even a team. Just why I'm ready for the playoffs, man. 47 minutes after the hour. Rev Chiropractic. I've been going there for a few months now, and I feel fantastic. I've cut back how many times I'm going, and I'm going once a week now. I was going three times a week. They got me fixed up. I went in for an x-ray. I took the x-ray later. I got to share those pictures up on social media too, because you could see where my spine is like pulling away, and that's why there's so much pain in my upper right back around my shoulder blade. They're getting it back. They're correcting. I'm feeling less and less pain. In fact, most days I'm 100% pain-free, and if there is pain, it doesn't last long. That's Rev Chiropractic. They're in Greeley. If you know where the Home Depot is in Greeley, off 35th Avenue and off Highway 34 and 35th Avenue, check them out. Go to their website. We have actually the link available at 1310kfka.com. And there you can go and schedule your appointment. And just check them out. You can go in for just a one-stop shop. If you think that will help, you can go in. But take it from me. It is a process. If you have a messed up enough back, it's worth checking out. Check out their website. That's Rev Chiropractic. It's actually, the website is chiropracticrev.com. 48 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show with what's on tonight, as well as closing thoughts. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on The Halls Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. It is The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy. Shout out to our friend Mark Larson, the Greeley source for all your insurance needs. Auto insurance is a State Farm specialty, as well as homeowners, renters, life, liability, and property. Check out Mark Larson specifically, MarkLarsonInsurance.com. Big supporter of all things local in the area. So, and tell them we sent you here from The Halls Show. That website again, MarkLarsonInsurance.com. What's on tonight? Well, you have the Colorado Avalanche going at it against the Kings on the road, looking to rebound after losing to the Sharks. That one's at 8 o'clock tonight. So, man, it is a jam-packed sports night. We've got Rockies, Cardinals going at it, 6:10, I think, the first pitch there. And then the Nuggets and Jazz, 7 o'clock. Which one's on the dial, Colfax? Which one are you going to? Austin Gomber.
I know. I do like the idea of watching the Rockies tonight, but I got to go Nuggets.
I'll probably that time of the season. Do the recall in the commercial break real quick.
I mean, I guess if that's an option.
Check out a... Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's a cop-out. You can't... There's no recall to stay with one game. This is a big game for Denver. I mean, again, there's some movement to be had, whether it's moving up to 3 or even number 2, and then you kind of see what else happens with the rest of... And I guess if you're going to move up, then don't you want Portland to win tonight? Yeah, so scoreboard watching is happening like crazy. Boy, this is going to be fun. Next weekend we'll be wrapping up the NBA regular season and shortened season. They did 72 games. Started in December. Was it like around Christmas time? Was it like right around
Christmas,
wasn't it?
Right.
And normally
like
they
a
start
week before Christmas.
Yeah, so it was about a 2 month
delay,
because normally it's late October, right around Halloween or so.
Yeah.
What'd you think? What'd you think of a 72-game season? Did you like starting? I didn't notice the difference as much. There's a lot more jam-packed games, I guess. But I didn't notice the difference. I mean, I like starting basketball in October. It's faster turnaround, but once we kind of got into the season, didn't it feel somewhat normal?
Yeah, it does. I mean, just looking at the records is the only thing that throws you off. It's like...
Yeah.
Because you can't, it's hard to compare to other seasons.
And I don't think the NBA has any plans of doing this again. I think they're going to do their championship this year, and then they'll start in the regular time. And then they start to get back to consistent, normal schedule where training camp starts in September, and then the first game, the preseason's in early to mid-October. And then you got that, you know, you start your regular season late October. So, yeah, but overall, it worked out. Shortened season. But, man, we're getting down to it. And this playoff run should be fantastic. I like dynasties as much as the next guy. But the NBA was getting to the point where we were spoiling dynasties. You know, we had the Lakers. We had the Spurs. I'm just talking the 2000s. The Lakers, the Spurs, Golden State, Miami, yeah, I guess it was more like a LeBron James. Wherever LeBron James went was a dynasty. The Miami Heat, I don't know if you can... They went to 4 titles in a row. They won 2 of them. Or went 4 championships series in a row, won 2 of them. But still, the NBA was so top-heavy that's what you got every year. It was either the Lakers in the title game or a LeBron team or the Spurs and hardly any changes. And then Golden State. Golden State won their 3 titles, and so then it became Golden State all the time. The last couple of years, we've seen a little bit, we've seen the difference. Well, Toronto won 2 years ago, and then you had the Lakers win last year. Lakers trying to become kind of re-up on that dynasty, and maybe they'll get stopped this year. There's got to be some pressure for the Lakers thinking they try to win this thing. Even though they win it in the bubble, they're trying to get back to being the Lakers, right? Getting, you know, LeBron wants to retire, but bringing the Lakers back up on top to where they were with Kobe Bryant, to where they were you know, well back in the day too. So, you know, that's a goal for him. You know, he doesn't want to just be another guy in that whole mix. He wants to get this team back to it. So Western Conference playoffs, man, I'm pumped for Eastern Conference too. But, I mean, obviously this has been what we've been tracking the most, the Western Conference. Should be a blast. My game of the week presented by Otto Taylor and Greeley. It's Denver Nuggets, Utah Jazz tonight. Still, I don't know how much movement there's to be had for Denver. A little bit, I suppose, but it's a barometer. I want to see if the Nugs can take it to Utah tonight. That's going to do it for us. We have Rockies tonight here on KFKA 5:30. Coverage begins with 6:10. That first pitch, Austin Gombert, Nolan Arenado. Oh, the clash of the Titans. Good night, Northern Colorado.